Sunday. Good to have you with us this morning. Find a hymnal. Turn to number 22. Stand together with us if you wouldn't sing. Are you washed in the blood? Sorry, but it is the truth. Without the shed blood of Jesus Christ cleansing our sin, we are on our own. On our own. You see, well, I could just do enough good stuff. There is not a list, a long enough list of good stuff we can do to get what Jesus' blood can give us. Aren't you excited about that? You're like, excited? That sounded negative. No, the exciting part is it's free.
Amen.
It's free, and we're selling it today. Amen. But there is, I guess there is not a cost, but what it takes is for us to see Jesus Christ and accept that blood, what he has done. He has paid the price for us. Isn't that? It's enough. But it's everything. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, three of us believe. No, I'm kidding. Amen. Well, glad to have you with us this morning. We're going to have a word of prayer, receive our offering here. And just go ahead, gentlemen, have a word of prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, Lord, it's just a blessing to be in your house this morning. And Lord, I just ask that you fill our hearts with cheer today so that we can give cheerfully, Lord, and then just bless the gifts that are given today. The offering that we take up can be used to spread your gospel around the world. And we thank you for everyone visiting here today to be a part of our service. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Please be seated.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
What a wonderful looking crowd. Today we're going to talk about the Myers family. They're one of our missionaries that we support. You'll find a letter in your bulletin. And also, we got a new printed out form to get some stamps. This is Chris and Mui Myers, and they are our missionaries to Laos. Now, they're not there yet. They're still on deputation. They went in December. They checked it out. They got a lot of help from a fellow missionary friend over there. They got enough information that they think when they do hit the ground over there in Laos in December, they're going to hit the ground running. They found good housing leads. They got lots of contacts. The Lord showed and opened the door to several new ministries there in Laos. And they're going to get language training. I mean, they're going to have to learn how to speak the language over there. They'll get that in the capital, which is Vientiane. And also their children. They've got two children still with them. There's a picture of them in the letter. They're going to have a better understanding of what it's going to be like over there living and learning in a new kind of school. So they're all very excited about being over there. They came back in February. They came here and visited us. We've decided to support them. They still have a full deputation schedule. And while they were here in the States, at Central Baptist Church in Mount Vernon, Kentucky, they were actually able to help put together some John Romans scriptures, and that was quite a good experience for them. You probably don't know a whole lot about Laos. It has no community of Christians of original inhabitants. They refer to this as indigenous people. There's nobody there that share their ancestry, their cultural, historical ties that could evangelize them. So this is one of the reasons we're so blessed to have missionaries that are willing to go over there. There's something like 40% of the world's population, which is about 3.1 billion people, that are in the category of what, if you look at the top right-hand corner, the 1040 window. And there's also a map that I printed out for you. The only thing it doesn't have on there is the northern part of Africa. But that's the 1040 area. That's where all these people are. They're not saved. The only way they could ever possibly get saved is for somebody like the Fergusons to go over there, or the Myers, I'm sorry. There's lots of other obstacles there. Depending on the part of the country that you're in, there's certain things that are going on. I won't tell you exactly what's one of the things that separates the north from the south, but there's some pictures in the letter that will point to this. Next to Mui, in that picture right there, you can see a young lady standing next to her. This young lady was abducted and taken to China when she was just a young teenager. While she was there, she had three children. And then her captor eventually decided to move on. And he sent her back to Laos without her children. She was lost. She didn't know what to do. I mean, you know, what a terrible situation to be in. Luckily, she was, actually, it's a blessing. It's not luck. One of the amazing pastors that the Myers know led her to the Lord. And you can see the picture on the right. She's getting baptized. So we now have a baptized Christian. She's very blessed to have that. You'll notice also in the map that I drew, I didn't draw it, all the countries around Laos, those are pretty much godless countries. Places like communist China, communist Vietnam. There's a dictatorship in Cambodia. Thailand has a constitutional monarchy. And the monarch has limited powers, at least. But again, you can see the kind of things that are around there. So there's not much hope for people unless missionaries go over there and try to let them understand what the truth is that'll save them. So this is our missionaries. I'm sure we'll hear from them again. And they have some prayer requests. I won't go into them too deeply, but they've got a pastor friend that has a transplant coming up. All of their children, two of them are not living with them. But one's in the Army and another one is in Bible school. So, you know, they all need help and they all need blessings. And I hope you will pray for them. And if you're coming back tonight, read the letter. I'll ask you some questions and we'll get some stamps for your paper. Okay? Thank you.
Amen. What a blessing. I loved when they were with us and informed us of some of the things there. Okay, let's turn our hymnals to number 132. 132, Never Alone. Let's all stand together. Thank you. Please be seated.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm so excited to be in church this morning. This is really loud. I know you just told me. Perfect. Okay. All righty. Can you hear me loud and clear?
Yeah.
All right. So announcements for the week. We're starting something new for members here. We are starting to do prayer requests on this little piece of paper. And you can find this paper back on the back where the bulletins usually are. And the reason we're doing this is, how often is it that we think of a prayer request, but when it's time to ask for a prayer request, we forget about it? We completely, until it's time to pray. And then, I totally forgot. That's something that I wanted to bring up. Grab one of these. Keep it with you. Yeah. So when something happens in your life or you think of something, you can write it down so you don't forget about it. My wife always tells me, write this down or you will forget. And she is always right. So take one. Jeez. Keep it with you. She's always right. Always right. Write it down. Bring it to church. Turn it into the offering box back there so we can take it and put it on our prayer list so everybody can pray with you on what's going on. If you have your bulletin, today is our fifth Sunday fellowship. All of our visitors, I am begging you to come back there and have a meal with us, spend some time with us, have some fellowship. There's plenty of food. My wife made her lasagna again. And I know what you're thinking. Are you going to brag about it again? My wife is a very good cook, and I love her cooking, so I will brag about it all the time. If your wife is not a good cook, I'm sorry, but mine is. So come back. She says she made it heartier this time. I don't know what that means. If she put a little more love into it, or an extra pound of meat. I think it's an extra pound of meat. But she made it a little bit bigger. There's a bit more. But if you're not quick, you will miss out. So go back there, get a spot, get some food, have some fellowship. Teen camp and junior camp are coming up. Pray for our kids, our teens that are going, that God uses that opportunity, that God uses that time in their life to open their hearts to receive something that they wouldn't normally get anywhere else. It's a time where they go and have a good time, and the focus is to bring these kids, if they don't know Jesus, to bring them to knowledge of him as their Savior, and to have a good time. It's a great time for the kids to go and get away. And then this Thursday and Saturday, we're going to take some time to be a blessing to somebody. We're going to take the time to help paint Shelly's house. Thursday at 6:00, I'll be over there with some pressure washers. Men, if anybody wants to come help out on Thursday, we're going to get it washed down and do a little bit of prep work before Saturday. And then Saturday, I invite everybody to come on over there and have a good time and help out and paint some walls. Painting's easy. It's very easy. And I'm not saying that because I've done it for the last 15 years. I'm saying it because it's really easy to grab a roller. And you know what's even easier? Being a blessing to somebody. So come out there, have a good time, put some paint on a wall, and have some fun. And take pride in your work. And those are the announcements as I know them, Pastor.
Amen. Make sure, if you're not an experienced painter, maybe if you are, make sure you wear clothes that are going to be ready to get painted on. Because that's when you slop it on. Anyhow, we're putting paint on. Amen. So come and be a part of that. That'll be great. And looking forward to that. There's a little bit of a problem just happened there, brother. That's going to be recorded forever. If I was your wife, I would download that. My wife is right. He said that, man, if I was her, I'm gonna just clip that for her and just put it on her phone. Some things. Maybe we'll. Can you delete that? No, just kidding. Amen. Just kidding. Actually, it's not recorded. We don't leave that on there, so you're safe. But she's in the nursery. She probably heard it. Amen. I appreciate that. I think husbands ought to speak well of their wives, and wives ought to speak well of their husbands. Amen. Yeah. Amen. And if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything. I don't want to hear bad stuff about that. I mean, that, you know, because we're one flesh. Amen. 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 Good. Praise the Lord for that. So a lot of exciting stuff. Look forward to it. Thank you. I just want to say, church, thank you so much for coming out yesterday. I mean, our church was so well represented. So many of you came out. I appreciate it. It's a blessing. I know it's not just, you know, it's not for me and it's for them. But I appreciate it. I really do. When we come together and something's there and we do it, this is more than just a place we show up on Sundays. This is, it's not just a family. It's not a family. Well, it's a church family. Well, the Bible calls it a body, right? And when a body moves together, it really moves in a way that it's the way God planned it to be. And so I appreciate that. And we'll see them back here next Sunday, and they're going to be running around playing, doing stupid. They're having a good time, sure. What a great thing, and it was appreciate the, all those that took a part, and appreciate we had Pastor Williams here, the service yesterday. That was great, and so many involved. Thank you, folks, that so many helped clean. I think we got the whole thing looking back like a church, and like, I don't know, by 3:30, and I don't know what time we started, but it was just great, so I appreciate it, and it was a blessing. It was a blessing, and so glad to have you here this morning. Sometimes we're going to get wore out, and like, I'm too tired for church, but y'all came back, amen. And so now we're going to get to what God has for us this morning. Turn your hymnal one last time over to number 169. 169. You can stay seated for this one. Dismissed at this time. At this time. All right. Amen. I have a special at this time, ladies. Come on ahead.
Give me that hope, so think so, maybe so, salvation. The kind that'll leave you here with no consolation. I want the kind that'll turn my life around. Just give me that no doubt, worked out, God has shout salvation. The paid up, prayed up, next of kin relation. The kind that Jesus paid for on Calvary. Well, some folks live their lives defeated, always worrying about their souls. By doing good deeds and maybe giving some money, they hope to reach heaven, sure. But the Bible says, put your faith in Jesus and get under that crimson flow. He'll wash away your sins and put you in the Father's hand and put the joy down in your soul. Don't give me that hope so, think so, maybe so, salvation. The kind that'll leave you here with no consolation. I want the kind that'll turn my life around. Just give me that no doubt, worked out, God has shout salvation. The paid up, prayed up, next of kin relation. The kind that Jesus paid for on Calvary. Well, the plan that God has from the beginning is the same one we need today. So give your heart and soul to Jesus. Brother, it's the only way. Don't give me that hope so, think so, maybe so salvation. The kind that'll leave you here with no consolation. I want the kind that'll turn my life around. Just give me that no doubt, worked out, God a shout salvation. The paid up, prayed up, next to kin relation. The kind that Jesus paid for on Calvary. Calvary, Calvary.
Amen. We can have the kind of salvation, the kind of relationship with the Lord that we know. So, say, can you know that you're going to heaven? Well, let's just hope. Let's just hope it all works out. Wouldn't that be something if all God left us with, I hope it works out? What a tragedy that would be. Imagine having a whole book and say, well, I don't really know if we could be saved. We'll just do our best and hope it works out. Well, why did he even give us this? What a strange concept, isn't it? So glad there's a no-so salvation. Turn your Bibles this morning, if you would, with me to Acts chapter 13. We've been going through the book of Acts for about 2 years. we actually started way back, and then we kind of took a pause and did some other things, and now we've kind of come back into the book of Acts. And It's kind of a long book, and I don't, for our visitors here, or guests that are here with us today, I'll let you know a little bit about how I preach. I don't try to see how much we can get done. I try to get into it, not through it, right? We want to get something out of it, not just put a mark on how much we've covered. But I do want to cover it all, but it takes a little while when you go that way. We've been, on Wednesday nights, we've been in the book of Proverbs. Since I've been here, 2.5 years, and we're on chapter 2. You're like, how does that work? Well, go back and look through that. But I do want to get into some tonight. So we've been this morning, rather, but we've been looking at some different things and the early church and kind of the beginning of different things. It's the church moved from really the not really moved, but from Jerusalem up into Antioch, and Antioch became kind of the missionary center of the church that began to send out from that place. And so we're kind of coming into some of these things. I want to talk about this morning the challenge of ministry. Did you know there's a challenge in ministry? It's not all just everybody's glad you're there. You know, I thought when we went as missionaries to Sri Lanka, I thought they would be lining up at the airport, excited to see us there. We've been waiting on you, right? No, I didn't really think that. But wouldn't that have been awesome? They're excited. You know, I know I've heard of places like that, but that's not most mission fields. Most places, folks aren't necessarily excited to have you there, but they need the message nonetheless. So Acts chapter 13, you find your place there in verse 3. If you'd stand together with me, as we honor God in the reading of His Word, Acts chapter 13, and we're going to begin here in verse 3. The Bible says, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the Word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. Let's go, Lord, in prayer this morning as we get started. Our Father, we are so very thankful, Lord, to be gathered together in your house this morning, thankful for the privilege that we have to open up your word. Lord, we are not left to hope, guess, think, or wish what our relationship with you should be or what you would desire of us. Lord, you've given us your truth. And yet, Lord,
even with all that you've given us, you've revealed to us the challenges and the blessings and all the things with this. Lord, I pray this morning you'd lead God and direct. Lord, would you teach us something? Would you direct us in some ways and some things? And we'll give you thanks for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So we're going to find here this first missionary journey of the church there at Antioch. And they're heading over to where Barnabas was from, the Isle of Cyprus. So it's just right up there. We talked about that last week. Kind of there's Jerusalem, and then there's Antioch, and then you come around, and it's right there in the sea there. And so they brought John along. We looked at that last week. He was there to be a helper in the work, likely in some fashion, manual labor, maybe in some ways of organizing and preparing and some preparation, maybe setting things up for them. He could have been helping maybe arranging meals and so forth. Some of these kind of things. He was there as their minister. Right. Listen, everybody is not the preacher. Right. Everybody is not the teacher, and everybody is not this. There's a work for all to do. We talked about that a bit last week. There's a role in all of those. And so we find John Mark in that place. And so they traveled through the aisle and preaching at the synagogues and making their way to the other side. And may have taken a few weeks by the time this preaching and going to the next place and so forth. But you don't really have all that time frame. Just kind of give you an idea what that might have looked like. I want us to focus on this morning a few characters. I like to see characters in the Bible and kind of look at their life a little bit and try to get ourselves into what's taking place here, right? So first of all, we find Bar-Jesus, a false prophet and a sorcerer, the Bible tells. Look again at verse 6. And when they had gone through the aisle into Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. So several things we're going to learn about this fellow. He was a Jew. Okay, he was a Jewish man. His name, Bar-Jesus, really, it just means son of Jesus. Or Jesus, another name, a Jewish name, Joshua. And so it really just means the son of Joshua. Often they would be recognized by who they were the son of and so forth. And so Jesus or Joshua, however you want to, you know, Yeshua in that kind of way, was a common Jewish name at that time. The name itself carried the idea of really Jehovah is salvation or Yahweh saves, right? This kind of thing. It's just kind of, you know, it's kind of, you would say, some name that had some meaning, right? Our names today, sometimes people name their kids unique and interesting names that kid has to live with their whole life. I think this is going to be fun, and they name them something, and the kid has to go the rest of their life, say, what's your name? And they say it, and say, what is it? And they say it again like 3 or 4 times, and can you write that down? They're like, I'm not sure how to write it either. You know? And so, but we had fun giving it to them. Anyway, I named our first one Katie, but we wanted to spell it different, so she couldn't ever find the keychains with her spelling. Anyway, it was fun for us. In the Bible, often they have a meaning behind it. And so we find that this kind of idea about Jesus, the son of Jehovah's salvation, kind of that, you know, Yahweh saves. But the second thing we learn about him is he was identified as a prophet. It says here he was a false prophet. Kind of gives us a little idea, at least maybe somewhat, that he was a false prophet, that he was at least in some respect, he was considered someone that would have at least claimed to be a prophet or in that kind of way. So as a Jew, he would have had a religious background that would have connected him to scriptures and the law and so forth and the God of Israel. And so maybe the hope of God's people. I want you to grab something about this concept with him as a prophet. This was a man that knew religious and spiritual language. He would have known that from his heritage and so forth. Some people grow up in a religious home, and they know religious things and concepts and words, and they can speak like they understand it. right? Enough that they can begin telling other people about those things and they can sound like they know it, right? I've known people like that. I don't know that I knew a lot of those things, but there's a lot of people that I knew, they would say things. And when you don't know much and somebody says something like that, you're like, ooh, that sounds good. And then you'll stick with that. You'll have that, this person said this really smart sounding thing, right? And you kind of go with that for a while, and somebody over here, and you say, because a lot of times you don't know the questions to ask. Someone said some religious sounding thing, and you're like, well, that sounds good. You don't know the question to ask. Well, how do you know that? We don't ask that. It just sounds good, and so we kind of go on. And so he was that kind of fellow, most likely, in that kind of situation. He appears in the passage as someone who already had some spiritual influence. Look at verse 7. It says here that which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man. Okay, so I want you to see something about here. We kind of learned something here. He appears to already had some spiritual influence. He was there with him, but the Bible tells us already in verse 6 that he was a false prophet. He was there with Sergius Paulus. We're going to talk about him in just a moment. But he was as a prophet or some kind of spiritual advisor, whatever kind of role that was. But he was not actually a voice for God. You understand? He was not a voice for God at all in the ear of the deputy of the country. And I want to park right here for a little while, but we're going to get back to that. Okay, we're going to get back to that in just a moment. But the last thing we kind of learn about him is that he was a sorcerer. He was a sorcerer is what the scripture tells us there, a sorcerer. And so it's really the meaning really means just a magi of some sort. Though magic was forbidden by the Jews in the law, this bar Jesus practiced it. Practiced magic. Like, what did that look like? I don't know. Pulled a rabbit out of a hat? Probably not. Probably other things, kind of magic-y. And evidently, he mixed it all together to make himself some kind of spiritual guide for this political ruler. We're going to learn more about this fellow in just a moment, but I want to tell you about a fella. I'd tell you his name, but it's really hard to say it, and it's about this long. But he was the personal astrologer to President Mahinda Rajapaksa, which was the president of Sri Lanka at the time. And he was his personal astrologer. Could you imagine having your own astrologer? You wouldn't even have to go to the horoscope. You ask him, right? And he, in Sri Lanka, the way the constitution was written, the president can call what's called a snap election at any time. And so, you know, you could have two terms, and you could at any time say, we're going to have the election now. And I think it'd be like in 3 to 6, I mean, I think it was like 3 or 4 months you could have it, you know, like that's a pretty cool thing. You could like all of a sudden jump in. And so the astrologer had, his personal astrologer had told him, astrologer, astrologist, I don't know, whatever, one of those terms. And so he said, listen, all the stars are lined up. And so he gave him the right auspicious time to turn in the documents, the auspicious time to do this, the auspicious time to pick the date. Everything, he said, all the stars have lined up. You are going to win for sure. Well, he lost in a landslide. And so I guess the stars were a little out of line, right? And so this guy said, well, he's, you know, finally, you know, the whole thing, and, you know, it didn't go well for him. And he finally said, well, you know, even Nostradamus was wrong sometimes. Isn't that convenient? Isn't that convenient? Can I tell you, if we will trust this book, we'll always be right. No, okay, no, we're not going to be right, but it's going to always be right. And so this this astrologer later on in defense, of course, Nostradamus is wrong sometimes. He said, what happened is the other guy, his horoscope was more powerful. You were supposed to win, and it was all lined up, but his were more lined up. You know, and this whole kind of thing. Later on, they talked to the president, Mahinda Rajapaksha, and they said, what do you do? You know, the astrologist was wrong. He said, do you still believe it? He said, no, not anymore. So he quit believing. Amen. Sometimes there's people that will try to be the voice of God or the stars or something, and what we learn is they're not really that kind of role. Anyway, look here. I want to talk about the second one, the next character, Sergius Paulus. He was the deputy of the country of Cyprus and a prudent man. It says, again in verse 7, it says, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. So he was the chief Roman authority over Cyprus, and kind of like what we think of like a governor of that place there, and it calls it a country here, maybe province or that type of thing. But there's two things we can learn specifically about him. He was a prudent man. The Bible tells us a prudent man. Meaning he was intelligent and perceptive in this kind of way. Which kind of begs the question that he was a prudent man and one that had intelligence and all these things. But it's really interesting what we find here is that he was intelligent and perceptive, yet he followed this false prophet, which is quite interesting. How on earth did he go through this and follow this false prophet and this sorcerer? And how was he, a prudent man, able to be so kind of deceived and follow this? And so I thought about that a while. I kind of really kind of come up to maybe just a thought. is this really, this is written in hindsight, right? This is what we find here written in hindsight. And so after these maybe what ended up happening, what we're going to see in this story is what he did and how he responded actually was evidence that he was prudent. Wasn't prudent before that, but anyway, he finds this kind of thing. We don't have every answer in the Bible to every kind of, we get enough to get an idea how God wants us to live, but we got to guess on some of these other things of what's going on there. And so, but the second thing we learn about him is that he desired to hear the word of God. He desired to hear it. And I think that there shows his discernment. What he was wanting to know, and he desired to hear it. And so he was not content with what had been fed him. I want you to grab a hold of that this morning. Yeah, there's a lot of spiritual-ish information coming to him. But Jesus had told him all these things, and he'd be listening, and maybe he'd been on his side, and he was there near him, he was with him, and he had all these things, but at some point he desired to hear something. And so sometimes what can happen to us, folks, is we got our belief system. No, listen, we've got this thing. It's like, you know, we've followed it, we've believed it, and yeah, okay, but there's something that doesn't settle there. And we're looking for, and maybe here this morning say, you know, I'm kind of like that, but I know there's still something missing. You know, I kind of always thought I had a relationship with God. I don't know if I'd have used the word relationship with God. I think I would have probably said, no, I believe in God, right? I would have said, I believe in God. And he is, you know, I believe in Jesus, God, the cross, the things, believe all that stuff, right? I would have probably grabbed that almost my whole life. Never thought that maybe it's not real. I thought, but I had no idea what it meant to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes you can hear something, somebody has a little bit more, but there was a point in my life that I began to say, I wonder what I desired to hear the Word of God. And I began to read it and got a Bible and began to read it. And there was something in there that said, there's something more than what I have here. And so we find this, evidently, the Spirit of God was already drawing him. And so this is the kind of person, the type of person that any missionary would love to come upon, right? you're there and you come to the island and you're preaching, and all of a sudden you come to this guy and he calls you over. He gets Barnabas and Saul to come on over. I want to hear the word of God. Every missionary, that's the person you're looking for. Amen. If you know where somebody like that's at, give me their address. That I love that kind of situation. Somebody wants to know about the word of God. I'm telling you, it happens though. You know, in this church, we got here and we'd only been here maybe, you know, about a month and a half, almost 2 months, and we're having a watch night service. Hadn't had any, not a watch night service, but a candlelight service on Christmas, and a visitor just walks in the back door, just sits down in the back here. I think we're about where Brother Joel is back there. She just sits down there, and I thought, well, we really didn't have a message prepared for visitors. It was just, let's talk about Jesus, right? And about what he meant to us. And, you know, anyway, the end of the service, it just wasn't really a salvation message. I don't think I really focused like that so much. But at the end of the service, I said, is anybody here just, you know, want to receive Christ as their Savior? I was talking to one person. I mean, I don't know. I mean, sometimes church folk get saved, right? But I said that, and this lady, she raised up her hand and said, you know, and she came. I said, if you want to get saved, come forward. She came down and thought, wow, amen. You're welcome. Those folk are welcome to come in any day, right? Come in. They want to just know. And it's like plucking ripe fruit right off the tree. And, you know, like, look what we did. No, look what God did and brought them. It's just such a wonderful thing. And this is kind of what was going on. And here's this situation. But as it happens, often in the ministry, there's obstacles, right? Look at verse 8. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation. So now he's calling him a different terminology here, but watch what it says here. Withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Now, the one that's desires the word of God, that's the one you always want to come around. This other guy is the one you never want around. I mean, that's the one that'll get you so fiery hot that you're going to lose your testimony over. You know what I mean? Like, Lord, help me, right? And I've been there, and time you're sharing the gospel with somebody, telling somebody about Jesus Christ, and somebody comes up and says some goofiness to just distract them from the truth of the word of God. By the way, listen, we don't believe in this strike while the iron's hot, like, Let's get them tricked into salvation. That's not how this works. But there's just people that can come along and you're trying to share it. Somebody's like, can you tell me how to be saved? And you're showing them the word of God and showing, or just the truth of the word of God. And as you're in the midst of that, somebody comes along and begins to, what we find here, Elymas, as he's called now, he begins to turn him, it says there, to it withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. What is wrong with somebody that says, I don't really want you to know Jesus Christ. I don't really want you to have salvation. I don't really want you. You know really what they're saying though sometimes? I don't want you to get all religious on me. You know what? You were a lot more fun before you got religious. You ever had people say that kind of stuff to you? I've had that. And so we find here the scripture now here turns back to Bar-Jesus, or now is in his official role, maybe in this title, Elymas the sorcerer. So he was known by all these things as this kind of intermingled thing. And can I just say this here about this situation? This was not just an innocent, ignorant, misguided advisor. You understand? Well, he meant well. No, sir. No, ma'am. This was not somebody that meant well. No, this was somebody that was purposefully turning Sergius Paulus away from the faith. Sometimes I think we give people, we could be too nice to people. I'm like that sometimes. I want to say, well, they probably. I'm telling you, the Bible doesn't deal with it like that. This was very clear what he was going. He was intentionally turning the deputy away from the truth of God, to the point that he withstood the preachers, Barnabas and Saul. He withstood them. In other words, what he ended up doing is he got up in between them. And really, that's the kind of the concept is to stop them. And man, he was getting in the midst of that, turning him away and almost to the thing, come on over here and listen to me instead. Now, folks, I think there's some things, there's some books I wouldn't recommend. So I don't think that book's going to help you, right? I think you got to be careful about that. Some, I said, well, there's some things you got to be careful. But I'm going to tell you what, if I'm so afraid of somebody else getting in your ear, I'd have to get all your phones. Can we turn your phones in? Right. How can we live? You know, what ends up happening, there's going to be some voices out there. And so, you know what I find? I can't tell you every false thing that anybody's ever going to say. That's a lot of stuff. That's why what we want to focus on is what does this book say? What has the truth got for us? And when somebody says something that doesn't line up with that, I think we find this deputy say, something is off and I'm looking for some answers. And we find this kind of the situation but he withstood these. He didn't want him. He would have been like that individual that doesn't want their friend or family member to hear too much about things of God. We had a lady, a family, it was adults and some kids and so forth. The lady, one of the mothers, you know, the second generation, it was there. And they came and they really wanted, she was messed up in her life. She had sin, she was living in sin, had been living in sin, living in adultery, living in just wickedness and off and trying to, and the family wanted her to get her life straightened out. Amen? So they said, let's bring her to church. That's a good place to get your life straightened out. Amen. And so but you know what they wanted to do? They wanted her to just get a little cleaned up. Right? They wanted her to get just a little bit cleaned up. Like, I want her to come and quit the sin. And she came on a I think it was a Sunday morning. She came, the whole family, grandma and a couple of the daughters, and then one of the daughter's children, and so forth. And so the whole family came. That Sunday night, she came back by herself. She said, you know, they didn't bring her to hear the word of God, but she came back and she wanted to hear the word of God. She came back and said, can you tell me more about that? And what ended up happening is she got saved. She got saved. And she didn't get kind of like saved, like let me just call myself a Christian now. She got to save like she put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ and said, I want to live. That's what I've been looking for, right? And God did something in her life. She began to, she began to get all full of religiosity. I don't mean in a fake way. I mean just, man, she was like, I ain't going to miss another service. And she was the kind, you know, the kind that gets saved and they're like, what are we doing on Monday? They're like, no, we go home and just live our life on Monday. Well, what about Tuesday? We have church Tuesday? No, we just, you know, come on now. You know, I was like that when I got saved. I'm like, what are we doing the rest of the week? This is awesome, right? And so, you know, some people get like that. And so not everybody gets saved, but some are just like all in. I've been looking for it, desiring it so much. So she got saved, got in there, started living for Jesus, started making some big changes. Her family was so excited for her, except for no, they weren't. They wanted her to get a little cleaned up, but she ended up getting so religious that she was like wanting to live for Jesus. And can I tell you, they weren't. They weren't living for Jesus. They just had some religion in their life. No, they had some religion of how they're going to do this thing and how they're going to do that thing. And they felt really good in their religion because they were the most religious people in the family. And they knew the answer was for the daughter to get a little bit of religion, but she ended up getting a little too much. Like, she got saved altogether. She wanted to come and get baptized and live for Jesus. And they're like, whoa. And they were so mad. You know what they wanted to do? They wanted to get in between and withstand her from, you know. And then, you know, and then comes the thing. I'm going to tell you, if a Baptist church never gets called that, I'm not sure you're a Baptist church. They came up and said, no, you're going to a cult. Yep, you're going Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday school, Wednesday night. Y'all getting together for other things. That's a cult over there. See, when people get saved and want to live for Jesus, the religious world says something's a little bit off. That's too much. No, that's what it means about being a Christian. It means to be Christ-like. I'm going to live for Him, not just on Sunday. So anyhow, I got off on that. Sorry. What was I saying? Okay, So they didn't want that. So these are the kind of people that kind of step up, and when there's a conversation going on, they're like, what are y'all talking about? Right? They want to get in there, make sure they can get back in there and take control. What are y'all talking about? What are y'all talking about over here? They don't want anybody getting the gospel to them. It's like you got to sneak them off to share the gospel. What is weird, isn't it? You know, sometimes people come to church with their whole family. I've seen this. People say, well, I want to wait and get saved with my whole family. My husband or wife or grandparents, you know, I want to get saved with my whole family. I rarely found that to be the case. Sometimes we do find whole house salvation. Folks been looking for something together, looking for the answer. But a lot of her, I'm going to wait. I had a fellow I worked with, and he wanted his wife to get saved. So he started bringing her to church. He grew up in a Southern Baptist church. His grandpa was a Baptist preacher one time, but he kind of walked away from it. And so he wanted his wife to come and get religious and get saved. So he brought her to church and hoping that she'd get saved. Well, she did get saved. That was at a revival meeting down there at Midlands. She went and got saved. And she comes to the preacher, comes to Pastor Lydick, he's been here preaching for you, he said, we just need my husband to get saved now. She got all excited about Jesus and all of a sudden realized he had never been saved, and she's trying to get him. And I'm thinking, man, sometimes the one that gets in the middle and think we're helping somebody, we ain't got it yet. You understand? So there's a situation going on. We kind of not find these kind of people. You know, the ones that deter from even listening by contradicting the truth and denying the truth by interrupting and telling their own stories of why such things are not true. You know, a real blessing. This fellow, his name is Eric Surgner. Did you ever meet Eric Surgner? No, I didn't. Anyway, I brought it. He was my supervisor at that time, and I would be sitting there talking to somebody. I was newly saved. I'd talk to everybody that didn't want to hear at all. It didn't matter. And so I was sitting there talking to this guy. He'd come sit down. And he said, yeah, I don't believe any of that stuff. Oh, man, he just made me so... I'm like, you're supposed to be, you know, your grandpa was a Christian. Here you are telling me. He's like, yeah, I used to do that. I don't go to church anymore. I'm like, I'm trying my dead level best to try to convince this. And I wasn't very good at it. I knew like two verses and I misquoted John 3:16. I mean, that's where I was at, but I just wanted to get that. And I had this atheist man tell me, that's you misquoted that. I'm like, no, I didn't. And he quoted it right. I'm like, oh. You know, but I was just excited. And Eric Surgeon would get up there and he would say, no, I don't know. And I'm sitting there trying to tell this atheist. So frustrating. I'm glad he got saved later. You know, listen, this fellow stepped in while they were unfolding the very words of life. The gospel of Jesus Christ and this one who wanted to hear them. Can I say this here? Saul didn't really care for that fellow too much. I imagine, you know, I just imagine this one that claimed to be a prophet. Maybe he claimed, I'm not sure how the things, which really leads us to that third character, the Apostle Paul. Look at verse 9. Then Saul, who also was called Paul, and from now on he's going to be called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him, and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Amen. Okay, did y'all get what he said there? Y'all with me this morning? See this sign here? I need help. All right, y'all with me? Yeah, thanks, Brother Bob. Brother Bob's coming back to you. He just raised up his hand. Somebody's going to get in here. Listen, we're going to witness here the beginning of the leadership of Paul, beginning here. And this isn't him positioning himself as the leader, but rather the Spirit of God. It tells us here that he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and God put something in him to take this role and the things he said. This was not just some passion. This wasn't just passion and anger and frustration with the situation. This was directed by the Lord for the things he says here. I mean, listen, he says you all full of all subtlety and mischief. He gets right to it with him. He turns to Elymas and set his eyes on him. I'm not sure exactly what that look was. But I don't think it was good what he looked at him. I don't know. I don't even know what that look would be. But I'm telling you, he was full of something. The Holy Ghost right here. And he looked at this guy that's trying to pull this man away from the truth of the Word of God. And I don't think Paul was like, oh, buddy. No, I know he wasn't, because what he said here. He wasn't like, buddy, you need to just, can I just have a little moment over here? That's not what he did. And by the way, I'm not saying what we ought. This is what he did. He was filled. If the Holy Ghost fills you, you're going to say it in a way that's from him. If it's me, and probably I've been like this a couple times. I've said some things that folk needed to hear maybe, but maybe not in the right spirit. You understand what I'm saying? He says some things that really put him in there. Again, in verse 10, he said, full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil. You ever been called that? My mom called me that a few times, I probably, growing up. He said, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Listen, this man was using deception and trickery. It's what he was doing. The word mischief here is a word that means, really gives us the idea, means that he was willing to do anything, go down any road, whatever it took, right? Elymas was leading this Roman ruler down a path of deception. Imagine a big part of all this, and just thinking about this, was that he was using his Jewish heritage, likely proposing that the things he was saying was maybe by association, some things, it was the God of the Hebrews, right? Kind of like we might do as a Christian. And as we say something, we might propose or even suggest or maybe it be assumed that what we're saying is actually the truth of God. I've set people up many times through the years and said, you know, man, the Bible says a lot of things. The Bible says, you know, cleanliness is next to godliness. And folks would be like, amen, that's right. I said, yeah, it's right, isn't it? And they say, yeah, amen. You know, our church knows, I've said this a couple of times. And they, amen, that's right. I said, yeah, where's that at in the Bible? Well, I don't know, but it's in there somewhere, except for it ain't. Sometimes we say stuff, and because we're Christian, I know this stuff. I grew up in a Christian home, except for you don't know it from here, right? And so there's some things going on here. He was proposing it to be the God of the Hebrews, but it wasn't. Paul doesn't call him Bar-Jesus. He doesn't call him the Son of Jesus, the coming Savior. No, he calls him thou child of the devil. He said, no, I'm not going to call you the son of the coming Messiah, right? Instead, there's really, I think maybe a play on words. Now it's your child of the devil. One time Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil. But this, best I can tell, this is maybe the only place that an individual was called out personally. I mean, there's Pharisees, different things, but by name we find this kind of situation. Paul calls him, he goes on, he says, you calls him the enemy of righteousness. The enemy of righteousness. Wow, that's quite a stack up on this guy right here. This was no small thing that he was involved with. This was a man turning others from truth of the gospel intentionally. I want to tell you folks, this is a big deal. This isn't people just, well, you know, I'm just trying. No, I think God takes this pretty serious. Evidently, I'm saying that. I don't know exactly, but it seems to me at some point that it was power, place, position, maybe self-gain, to direct the governor away from truth and to keep him to himself. Sometimes the main thing people want is, I want to keep control over you. And the thing is about the Word of God, the truth makes us free. Man, isn't it something? Well, there's a fellow, he said, you know, you go down to the church, all they're going to do is you can start going down there, all they're going to do is want your money. That's what he said. And he said, no, it's okay. And he gave his tithe. He said, see, I told you, all they wanted is your money. and so they're always looking. You know what they wanted? They wanted him to spend his money over there, right? So truth makes us free that we're not counting on this kind of thing. He was guilty of perverting the way of the Lord. In other words, he was twisting the truth to get others not to follow it. Twisting the truth. We talked about it Wednesday night. Remember, folks, I told you Wednesday night is this froward man, right? The speech, the things that were spoken of, it's twisting or bending the truth, coming off the path. And this is really what this Elymas was doing here. So this is Paul being filled with the Holy Ghost. But I'm sure he was pretty stirred about what was happening here. I imagine that. In verse 11, he says this, or the Bible says this, and now behold, Paul is saying it to him now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. That right there is something I wish I could do. Wouldn't that be awesome? Get over here. I mean, just blind folks. Just for a season. Just for a season. Just a season. Like somebody, you're trying to share the gospel with somebody and somebody's over here like, well, I just don't think like, poof. Now, can I talk to you? I wish I could do that to dogs too when I'm trying to talk to them. The dog, rah, rah, rah. You're like, come on. Can I just put a mist on your voice for a sec? I think the hounds have failed. Anyway, no. Miss Liz, like, what's going on here? Just kidding. I'm kidding. Unless the Holy Ghost gave me that ability. But I think Paul had a little bit of something. He's like, the Lord let him do that. And he said, listen, we got to get some truth and put this guy blind. And he's over there now trying to find his way. This kind of thing. He's going off looking for someone to lead him. And I wonder if folks are like, nah, he just called you the child of the devil. I ain't touching. Yeah, I don't know how that went. Just getting off the bus a little bit, right? So God, I want you to get this, folks. God will work a work in our midst, no matter the work of the enemy that's trying to stop it. Y'all with me? God will work a work in our midst, no matter what obstacles the enemy puts in our way. So I can't get this done because there's too many obstacles. I'm telling you, God is bigger than the obstacles. God can get a big fish to swallow you and spit you up on dry land to go get you to somebody that needs the gospel, to repent. He said, can God really do that? Well, do you really believe that? I just so happen to believe every bit of it. Amen. Just every bit of it. He said, did that really happen just like that, just exactly like it said? I don't think that's symbolism. I think it's really like that. He said, could that happen? God said it. I just believe it. Well, you're naive. I want to be naive for Jesus. Amen? But I'm only by this, not by others. So we find this thing. Look at verse 12. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed. Being astonished at the, what's that word? Doctrine of the Lord. So this Roman ruler had a desire to hear the word of the Lord. God brought Paul and Barnabas to bring that message. You know, sometimes we can have a bad character on our hip. No. Sometimes we can have a bad character that's just on our hip. Just by us, with us, in that kind of situation. Pretending to be one that knows the things of God and is directing us in the things of God, or maybe even the things of this world, and constantly pulling us off to a side. And yet, all along, they are more interested in keeping us away from God and just close to them. It becomes a power struggle. Could you imagine being in a power struggle with God? It's really what this Elymas was doing. He was trying to draw this governor to himself. And God said, I'm gonna fix that. And if you're here this morning and you're like, man, I'm in this struggle. Can I tell you, God can overcome those obstacles if we'll let him. So we find this even to the point of turning that's these on our hip trying to turn us away from righteousness. And I want to notice, I want you to notice something very, very important right here. The Lord didn't think this was a small thing. And the language that we see used here is quite vivid. And sometimes we need someone to come alongside us and tell us what we are listening to is not Bible. Some people are just better at it than others. I'm like, that's not true. I got a little bit of prophetic gift in me, probably maybe too much at times. It's not true. And, you know, I probably could have a little more of that sprinkle with love on that. But some are just like, oh, well, leave it alone. You understand? We find here at this time, sometimes it's important. We need to hear the word of God. We need to know what's true and what's not. But I also want us to see something else. Look at verse 12. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed. Okay, listen. It wasn't the blinding that astonished him. It says there in verse 12. He says, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. It was the truth of the things of God. Doctrine just means the truth of the things of God. For there to be any real power, I want you to get this. I've said that about four times. Every time it's very important, right? But this one's more important than the last ones. Forget the other stuff. For there to be any real power in exposing error, there has to be truth already present. Okay, this isn't about, I don't agree with that. I just don't agree with that. That won't do, folks. It won't do just saying, well, I don't agree with somebody else. So what? Who cares what you agree with? It can't, if there's no truth there already that I don't agree with, it doesn't work at all. It was the doctrine of Christ, the truth of the gospel that astonished Sergius Paulus. That's what it was. So when God moved, he wasn't putting his faith in the miracle of the blindness that happened to him. He was believing the truth of the gospel. By the way, believing a miracle won't save. It's Jesus Christ. It's the power of the truth. And I want us to look at one last character this morning, verse 13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. So the fourth guy is just John Mark. We talked about, he was introduced last week as one that grew up in the middle of it all. He was surrounded by the apostles, the believers. The church was meeting in his home. Listen, he had every opportunity to experience the wonderful works of God. To the point that when the occasion came, he chose to go with Barnabas and Saul, right? For this work. What a wonderful thing. And now we find him departing from them, leaving the work to go back home. Can I tell you today that serving Jesus is more than standing up here on Sunday and Wednesday? John Mark signed up for the very first missionary journey, right? Of the church sent out in this kind of way. And he couldn't make it past the first stop. We can be a little judgmental of missionaries sometimes, Kevin. Those missionaries, what are they doing? Well, just going on really hard places and doing really hard things, right? That they had never experienced before. Paul will be later he's going to be real clear about this. Just turn right over to chapter 15 and verse 37. We're going to get to that down the road, but I just want you to see what he says here, chapter 15 and verse 37. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark, but Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Okay? He made it quite clear he quit. Departing from the work of the ministry. That's what happened to him right there. That's what he decided that time. It's too tough. Okay, here's a conclusion this morning. Number one is this. First of all, ministry isn't easy. You got that? Amen? Ministry isn't, whether it's pastoring, missionarying, teaching Sunday school, keeping babies in the nursery from being so loud that moms can't, you know what I mean? Right? Lawn maintenance in Florida, grass doesn't slow down, right? I mean, whether you're church cleaning, you know what people do around here? They use the facilities. I mean, not, you know what I mean? Too graphic. I meant, they make messes. Every week, it's got to be remopped or swept and cleaned and vacuumed, right? And sometimes it's like, people ain't got no lick of sense, right? But no, it's, you know what's the worst? And some of those, remember those old spiral notebooks? You know what happens when you... Isn't that funny how somebody could do that, see a big mess on the floor and just leave it? There's obstacles in the ministry. You're like, why is it the same people? You know what you want to do with those people? You want to go up to them and give them that stare that Paul stared at them. Right? Is that yours? You know, I'm just saying there's obstacles. You know, I'm just saying it doesn't... Was there really? See? Case in point. I'm just saying this. Listen, you know, when Clayton doing the bulletin? The bulletin. Let me just talk about that for a second. By the way, there's a date on there now for all y'all who want a date. Amen? I don't think there's any more critiqued thing than the bulletin. You missed something. I know we missed stuff. Listen, I'm just saying there's obstacles, right? No matter what part you're in, the sound, man. You don't notice the sound until something's wrong and everybody's looking back, right? I mean, I'm just saying this ministry isn't easy. So I'm saying this to you this morning. So when somebody doesn't do it as well as we hope or think or wish, let's give them a break. Amen? Amen. Because many will never even try. Many folks will never even try. They'll never do the part of being the voice of the gospel for those that want to hear it. The second thing is, there are some that are so self-centered that they will invest their lives in keeping you and others from receiving the truth of the gospel. I think it's obvious. I don't need to say, don't be like that. I'm going to say it anyway, but don't be like that. I don't probably hear Sunday mornings, probably not a whole lot of folks doing that kind of thing, I don't imagine. But I want to say, don't surround yourself or let people like that surround you. I think a valuable thing for you to do, for you and I to do, is to say, who are the people that have my ear? Who are the people? And then let's investigate, is what they're saying coming from this book or coming from their heart and their head? Man, it can be so deceptive. Imagine a president trusting someone so much that they said the stars are lined up. Let's call an early, 2 years early, called an election and lost. And he had to flee the country at some point. I want to say this, folks. You're smarter than that. You're smarter than that. So was Sergius Paulus. And the third thing is just this, which brings us to this, there will be obstacles. It may be the people, maybe the places, maybe the situations, but I want to remind you that God will even use obstacles to bring people to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He's bigger than the obstacles, and even when the obstacles seem insurmountable to us, how are we going to get past it? Can we do that? Trust the Lord. Is bigger than that. Don't get frustrated when the world acts like the world. The Lord knows about that and He's at work. Listen this morning, folks. I want to encourage you by way of challenge this morning that if you're here this morning and you'd say, you know, I've listened to some of those voices. I have to be honest. I've listened to some of those voices and I think I'm probably more off track than I am on track. And I think I've probably listened to more self-help ideas than things of God. Maybe we could find ourselves being the one that's more interested in self-help. And we spend more time talking about self-help than we talk about Jesus Christ. Folks, God can overcome those obstacles. If you're here this morning and you'd say, I realize what I need to do today is I need to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. What a wonderful thing is that that's what the gospel is for. And it'll do that in your life if you'll put your faith and trust in Him. If you're here this morning and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, today can be the day of your salvation. Let's all stand together. Father, I pray that you would help us now, Lord. We've looked into your word and seen this situation. And Lord, we know that you are serious about your truth going forth. And Lord, there are obstacles. And maybe there's obstacles and distractions even here in our midst this morning, and other thoughts and other worries and cares and maybe situations. And Lord, I pray this morning you would help whatever that obstacle is. The Lord, we would each one be willing to put those to the side. Lord, we would look to you. But I pray that if you would do a work in our hearts this morning, we'll give you thanks for it now in Jesus' name. Listen, if God has spoken in your heart this morning, maybe you're here and you'd say, Pastor, I need to get saved. That's my need. If you're like that this morning, I pray you come, we'll have somebody sit down with the Bible and show you how you can know you have eternal life. Maybe you want to just come this morning and say, you know, I have been so distracted by some of these voices, and I've just realized this morning that they are not drawing me closer to the Lord. They're pulling me away. Maybe you're struggling with folks that you're trying to get the gospel to. Sometimes we can feel like surrendering. It's too hard. They ain't listening. God is able to overcome that.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free.
Father, we are thankful, Lord, for this time this morning. We're thankful for the opportunity that we have to be gathered together in your name, in your house, and Lord, I pray that you bless our time of fellowship to follow here, Lord. Thank you for those that have provided the food and all the things. And Lord, thank you for these that have come, Lord. I pray that you would bless our time, bless the food. We'll give you the praise and the glory and honor for it now. In Jesus' name, amen.